We're here. While we're waiting to upload, I appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. I appreciate my colleagues, the colleagues that are on the panel, and also my colleagues from San Bernardino County. Can you just wave your hand? And those who are from other parts of California. My presentation is a practical presentation, and it deals with creating a community-driven policy advocacy infrastructure to address these health disparity issues. I am so appreciative of my two previous colleagues because they've laid a very strong foundation, and some of our findings are definitely the same as the findings that they have identified, is that there's little interest at the different levels related to this issue. I am assistant research professor at at the University of California in Riverside. And I am also the founder of the African American Health Institute of San Bernardino County, which is an organization that was created based on our major countywide health planning project to identify the needs of our population. And Katie Green is or was our health policy analyst for the Institute. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I have my mandatory disclosure. I have no relationships to disclose, either for financial relationships or for off-label use, quote unquote. Mandatory is said. Okay. Now, what I also want to say is the objective of this presentation is to actually present how we have created our community level advocacy. So what did we do? We have multiple problems identified in our county. And the problems are consistent with the fact that African Americans or individuals of African ancestry continue to die at alarming rates. And actually, as I look at it, it's epidemic levels related to our poor health outcomes. For San Bernardino County, since this is a local presentation, the average age of death for our local individuals of African ancestry is age 59. This is a profile of our county, and you can see that basically we have a rising large population of Latinos, with our whites as the second population and people of African ancestry at almost 10%. Then the Asian population and Native Americans 1.4%, Pacific Islanders 0.4%. And this is just the display of the age at death for the entire basic population. And then when we stratify that and look at our male population, you can see Latinos and blacks are probably about the same as far as their age of death, but their causes of death are different when we look at our health disparity data. And for females, you can also see that Latinos and blacks are pretty close together. But then when we stratify our information and look at subpopulations and especially infant mortality, we can tell that the biggest disparity is between persons of African ancestry and all other populations. So even though you have within a Latino population the same average age at death, apparently it's not from infant death. And then when we look at heart disease, we can see with the red bar, and these are the same slides that I showed to the community. The red bars indicate the African American population, and you can see all of the other populations as it is color coded. And for prostate cancer, you can see that there are disparate areas of 2-3 times a higher rate for black men that are dying from prostate cancer. High blood pressure, we can see the red bar again is completely and significantly different from our other bars. HIV and AIDS, the same situation. And what are some of those contributing factors? For this presentation, I narrowed the focus in. We're really talking about contributing factors that lead to a lack of political will from the county leaders to address the problems, a lack of the Board of Supervisors to make health a priority issue, a lack of the Board of Supervisors to allocate money to the Department of Health to address these issues within the black population, or as the third bullet on this page says, to address health issues, period. And then a lack of political savvy for our Department of Health and our leadership to address that issue, as well as a lack of Department of Health to make health a priority issue with the Board of Supervisors. then our local population is tired and discouraged from fighting with our local decision makers. And it's a lack of foundations to invest in the county at the community level to address these massive health disparity issues. And that the county itself, our county, has never had a strategic plan to address the issues of its population, irrespective of your ethnic group. So what has the community done to respond to these issues? For over 30 years, we find within the black population that they've been moving forward to work on various aspects of improving the health and the health outcome. There have been special initiatives, public forums, radio talk shows, newspapers, and we have four black newspapers in our county, and the move to elect minority ethnic officials and policymakers, and to increase collaboration. So Dr. Montgomery and I, working at the Loma Linda University, have been working together on several projects that embrace the community. And I just wanted to display a little bit of what this progressive working with the community from the academic point of view, but that's irrespective of the fact that the community has already been working on multiple issues. So Dr. Montgomery was involved in NEES assessments, which Amy was a part of, youth violence, teen pregnancy. Then we've had a diabetes program, diabetes project, prostate cancer project, and then the California Endowment invested money in the black community to conduct a major countywide health planning initiative to find out from the perspective of the community what they thought the problems were related to high mortality and morbidity. And then with Loma Linda, we used that data to obtain a health disparity research center. And from that, from working with the community, we've created the African American Health Institute and a policy agenda. So the health planning project, in brief, we've published about this. We have a booth that you can go by and get information on. We used a mixed method approach so that we could triangulate our data and to really get perspective from different individuals that are involved in this entire issue. So you can see some of our data collection methods. And then from our health planning project, we created the Institute. The Institute is a collaborative of multiple organizations coming together working on areas of interest. And you can see that policy advocacy is one of our core services. This is our six-point action agenda that we had a press release January 2007. One of those areas happens to be policy, of course, and that is to work at the state level, the local level, and national level to bring about policies that will significantly make a difference in our population of people. So what did we do? We created policy as an agenda item. Then in collaborating together, we wanted to collaborate on areas of interest. And Kim Carter is sitting in our audience. And Kim is actually the founder of Time for Change. And she has a strong advocacy issue for formerly incarcerated individuals. She presented her model yesterday, which was a public health model to break the recidivism related to incarceration and also to focus her interventions that she is working on. And she's extremely successful, very focused in working with her population of people. We will be giving three abstracts on Wednesday. One will be her qualitative data and her quantitative data. And most recently, one of her associates or her clients has been able to advocate to get a policy change at the state level. It's AB, California AB 2070. And what's interesting about that is that she's still on parole, correct? And has been able to work with Karen Bass to be able to move an agenda, and that has taken place. That's just one of many that Kim has been working with. Then we, of course, in this developing the infrastructure, we wanted to get funding and to create positions, to have training, and then to advocate for change. And, of course, the California Endowment in 2007 awarded us, California Wellness gave first place, $150,000. California Endowment, $107,000, and private donations. So we have about $260,000 within the Institute to work on policy advocacy issues. And what did we want to do? When we talked to the board, we said the ideal person to work on these issues. We wanted someone who was familiar with the terminologies of health. So we felt a nurse would be appropriate for that, and one that was trained in this area. And so happened, she is an attorney and was trained in the military and was also a retired major in the military and working locally, not in our county, but another county, on policy health issues, and the fact that she was a retired individual and wanted to do the job, which I think is significant in that fact. So what has been our advocacy outcomes? When she came aboard, working with our collaborative partners, Kim had received a grant also to work on these issues. There was a collaboration to bring forth a community advocacy training course to actually train the community in policy advocacy and what to do and how to do it and to develop skills and also to carry forth agendas. We have our monthly public advocacy forum, and at this forum we've taken about 15 minutes at every meeting to go over how to advocate, what to do, and to increase your skills and to look for opportunities for working together. From the policy advocacy course, we were able to develop a matrix of different issues that people were already working on and then to encourage that collaboration. Another issue is to educate our board of supervisors related to health disparities and what would be appropriate mechanisms to follow through on. And then we created a website, and on the website we have a web page for policy advocacy, and Katie wrote Katie's notes related to different policy issues that we were following up on. So what were some of the core aspects of the training? 101, we felt like basic information about the government, how it functions, how you get policies done, who you network with, and how do you go about doing that. Kim has a very strong portion in community organizing. So Kim and her individual that was assigned to the program worked to do community training, community organizing. And then there was public policy, how to make a public policy, and media training, and then a field trip to the California Endowment where they have a course related to policy advocacy. And at this point, that's within 1 year, we have actually had 120 individuals to be able to take advantage of this information. And quite frankly, it's more than that. But that's 120 plus. So what are some of those policy issues in California? AB 1142, which Dimely has put forth, and it is a bill that is an African-American HIV initiative. The Institute actually has written policy brief related to this initiative and will be released to our legislators related as far as the follow-up, what is needed and what we need to go for. We work with Assemblymember Carter at AB 681 to mandate that our County Department of Health and our Board of Supervisors invest money in creating a strategic approach to working with the public's health needs. And ABX 11 was the Governor's Health Reform, and we made several testimonies in Sacramento on that issue. And then Kim's policy I just mentioned. And one that really was a gift to us that was a resignation of our County Department of Health leaders. How was that a gift? When the medical officer resigned, he left a 2-3-page scaling note that was published in the newspapers. We were on the air and the radio related to the incompetency of the administration and some of those major issues. This was the first time that the public health official from the inside had released this information, and boy, did we jump on that. And we have been working to kind of bring that home, to bring forth issues. We wanted competent Department of Health leaders that's trained in public health, assistant leaders, and our medical officer. And believe it or not, all three of those individuals do not have any formal training in public health at all. So, and a part of that, as you notice, is that health officer called for a grand jury investigation. And a grand jury investigation is going on right now regarding hiring practices and the competencies that are needed there. Because I feel very strongly, as public health, as a profession, we need that credibility. There's no need for anyone to have these positions that have no background at all in public health. Then our challenges is sustaining our community policy advocate infrastructure, dedicated staff, local political posturing and involvement for the long haul. And then we have our allies, our traders, and our spectators. So basically what we want to emphasize is that it can be done. I agree with the data that we have heard before. At all levels, there needs to be appropriate training. We have committed ourselves in working at the community level to work to be able to support and work in collaboration with those who want to do what is right and to be able to make a significant difference in the population of people in whom we serve. Thank you very much.
Next we have Diane.